Tom O'Connor, we're talking about the Al Siegel Community of Agencies. Did I get that even close? Yeah, Community of Agencies. It says right on your shirt. I should have looked.
Yeah, you got it right.
I do remember things. Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Can't
good to see you again.
I remember things once in a while. So how is everything over on Elmwood? Is that the main campus is Elmwood, right?
You know, that's funny. Dino, lots of people, that was the main campus as we first opened. When we first opened in 1968, the main campus was in Elmwood. It's now referred to as the Golisano campus. But we have five other campuses in addition to that. So we have six campuses total. We've got 20 buildings, 650,000 square feet of real estate. So we've gone from one building to 20. And just expanded services to over 55,000 children and adults with disabilities and special needs that take place each and every day on the six campuses now.
It's the Community of Agencies. How many agencies are under your umbrella?
Sure. So there are over 25 agencies that are all
25
that are under Al Siegel properties, if you will. And then within that, we've got seven member agencies. And those are agencies that we raise funds for through our foundation. And then we have two affiliate agencies, and then the rest are what we call neighbors. So they take advantage of our high-quality real estate provided at or below market rates. As a nonprofit, that's what we do. We provide the space. We design custom space and therapy spaces, recreation, education services, so forth, that are then provided by the agencies. The agencies do the services. We provide the buildings.
All right.
And then our foundation, the Al Siegel Foundation, exists to raise funds to support those efforts here, right here in Rochester. All the dollars that are raised here stay here.
Right here. And so basically, you're kind of a landlord for those agencies.
Sure. So
right?
That's a fair way to look.
Decent analogy.
Yeah, it's decent analogy, a good way to look at it. What I do make sure I correct, though, is that landlords don't typically raise funds to support their tenants.
Right.
And so that's where the differentiator.
Yeah, I've never had that when I was running. I don't remember that ever happening.
So that's our differentiator. Our foundation raises funds to support our member agencies. And so that's the difference. And then, you know, all of the other tenants, if you will, within the spaces, get to take advantage of the infrastructure and the shared services and the things that Al Siegel provides in addition. Even if we're not directly raising funds for those agencies or their programs, we are providing the space for them.
I'm sure with your people that you serve, there's a lot of overlap. Wouldn't there be?
Absolutely, absolutely. And even now, particularly as we've kind of come out of this pandemic, we've seen more and more collaboration. This is this is an organization that was really built on the DNA of being able to collaborate. You know, our mission and vision are that we can achieve more together. And so we've really established a way for agencies to be complementary to one another, not competitive. There are some overlapping services, but it's interesting. Through, you know, what's now close to 60 years, we've had very little overlap that was redundant. We'll have overlap where it's complementary, but not necessarily redundant. And that's, I think, one of the things that really is appealing about the structure of it. You'll see education services, physical therapy services, OT, but there's lots of different services within it as well. When you think of the agencies, for instance, our member agencies, CP Rochester.
That's who I just did. I was just telling you before we turned the mics on that I did the EPI walk.
Yep. Yep.
And then I did Starbridge's gala.
Yeah. Thing, so and then you've got Medical Motor Service, the National MS Society, Rochester Hearing and Speech Center, Rochester Rehabilitation. So those are all member agencies who are providing vital yet different services in the community and yet are complementary to one another. As we come together on a monthly basis, the agency leaders, we have a director's meeting, and we share ideas. We talk about what's happening in the marketplace. We talk about labor issues that we're experiencing, that kind of thing. And just it's a place for us to really have a chance to talk collectively about what we want to do or try to accomplish in the community.
Is this being the umbrella of these agencies? You okay?
Yep. Thanks.
It is a little dry in here. Plus, I just sprayed the mics down with Lysol. I'm finding that choking me up a little too. We got to be safe.
Yes, you know? Thank you. Yes, we do.
I'm sure that's what it is because I'm feeling it as well. What I wanted to say was, is this unusual for markets that have an agency that's the umbrella for all the other agencies? I mean, is that something that's, something that we do that nobody else does?
It's a great question. So we are part of a national nonprofit centers network that's based in Denver. I'm actually a steering committee member on that. And we are the oldest existing multi-tenant nonprofit center in the country.
Wow.
We're recognized as the oldest, and we're one of the few that is recognized that was built around this mission. And our mission was to align agencies, human service agencies, to help people with disabilities and special needs. That was a really innovative model. It was formed in, for us, it was formed in the 60s.
Right.
And it's continued to be a model that now is gaining some traction nationwide. People are asking more and more about how did this come together? How do you share the space? How do you, you know, how do you work together? So yes, it is an innovative model. One of the things I like to say, though, is I think of Al Siegel really as kind of a connective tissue under the agencies.
Mm-hmm.
The agencies are doing the direct care services. They're the ones who are out front doing, you know, every single day they're working with clients and they're doing the work. We have to be in place for them to be able to be successful. So our buildings, our facilities, you know, the shared services that we provide behind the scenes, those are really important. But each agency has its own leadership, its own budget,
its own governance.
Yeah. So it's not as though there's, you know, we're not overreaching here in terms of authority. We're actually supportive underneath is the way I like to view Al Siegel.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. And it's just cool. And Al Siegel was a radio guy.
He was. He's just like you.
He was.
He actually worked for Gannett Newspapers.
Okay.
So he was a Gannett newsman, and he would go on air every day at noon. And this is back when Rochester was really known as a factory town, right,
mm-hmm.
with Kodak and Xerox and so forth. And he would go on air at noon. He would start every broadcast with Howdy Neighbors, that he'd intro Howdy Neighbors, and then he would do the weather, because obviously everybody in Rochester is concerned about the weather. And then he had the luxury of working for the Gannett Newspapers at the time when there was both the morning newspaper, the Democrat and Chronicle, and then at that time an afternoon product, which
the
was
Times
the Times Union.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I'm old enough to know.
Yep. And so what he did is he actually had the preview of the afternoon paper. And so he would kind of do his breaking news at noon and kind of give the preview of that. But what he was known for was his real love and affinity for helping people all over the community who needed help. If there was a home that had been burned, or if there's a family displaced by fire, if there was a blood shortage for blood donations, Al Siegel was a guy who would say, hey, we need help. And people would respond to that call every single time.
And I'm sure it was a very, very popular show back then.
Absolutely.
And, you know, because he wanted to get the update. And...
Yeah, yeah. He was, my understanding is his audience was the largest east of the Mississippi at that time.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So, and he had Hollywood stars and all kinds of folks that would come on his air, you know, on his radio program. And this was before TV.
Right,
so
right.
So that was the other part of it. Radio was...
Radio was it.
Was it. Yep.
You know, it
just
was like, that and the paper.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. So, and he did not have your voice.
No, that's the one thing I do know, that he was known for having not a real good voice.
Not a real
for radio.
Good, yeah, not a radio voice.
It's worked for other guys in this market, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yes.
It has worked.
It has. Yep.
It
we're distinctive that way in Rochester.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't disqualify you around
right.
here.
No. Right. Yep.
That's not it. So, obviously, one of the main things is raising funds. And as you and I have been doing for, God, is it? It's over 20 years, I think.
Yes, it's. This is the 32nd year for Walkabout.
But I know,
yes,
I've been doing it.
You've been doing this for two decades, yes.
So yeah. It's the Walkabout, the community, Al Siegel Community Walkabout. It's Sunday, October 24th at Eastview Mall. Back inside.
Yes.
Last year we
did
a
car parade.
Interesting, very interesting walkabout.
Yes, we had a car parade last year, but we're going to be bringing folks back inside. A little bit different structure for us this year.
It will be, again, it's not going to be the old one.
No.
It's going to be modified.
Yep, we're reimagining it, you know, following the pandemic. And so we've got a little different structure to it as in terms of how we'll gather folks around. But it will still have all the different activities that we've had in the past. And it'll give everybody a chance to come together, have some Halloween-themed fun, and, you know, just be able to be connected again.
Right.
It's such a key piece for everybody who's been really kind of feeling isolated to say, you know, We really want to do something that's not virtual.
Right.
We want to be able to bring people together safely in an environment that will be protective but inclusive, and give folks a chance to see each other, you know, back in person again.
And all the cute little kids in their costumes.
Oh my God! Right? You know, you know, I've always said you and I are lucky because we kind of, you know, we play that role of introducing all the characters, if you will, give us a little bit of insight as to who designed what. But we don't have to judge them.
No.
You know.
No.
And that's the judges have the toughest job, right? We're really we're excited to be able to bring that back too, because that's just such a fun element for families. And we heard last year, even doing the car parade, that people were appreciative that Al Siegel had, you know, brought forth
done
an event and said, hey, let's at least do something in person.
Right.
But we're very fortunate that Eastview Mall is opened back up again and said, yes, let's move folks inside and have a great day.
We all meet at the food court.
Yep.
You meet at that morning, Sunday the 24th. AlSiegel.org. That's all you got to do. You go to AlSiegel.org and you'll find the walkabout, obviously.
Absolutely.
Prominently displayed.
Yep. You can form your own team, or you can join an existing team, or you can just donate to the cause. It's a fundraiser for us. And it's also an opportunity for us to be able to say thank you back to the community, and for us to bring folks together and have a great morning. Registration starts at 8:30, and then the walk will begin at 9, and then we'll have the costume contest at 10.
And then, I mean, if you have grandchildren or little nieces and nephews and stuff like that, and they want an opportunity to wear their costume more than once,
it's
the Sunday before Halloween.
That's right, yes.
You know, they get all excited about that, and this is a great opportunity to go out and show everybody their costumes, too.
Exactly. It's a great environment. It's a really family-friendly place, and it's the kind of thing where there's enough activities to keep everybody entertained. The morning flies by, really.
Yeah, it does.
You know? So
yeah.
It's a great opportunity to have some fun with your family, to meet some new friends, certainly introduce yourself to some great services that the agencies have provided, and do some good work and give back.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about future. Anything you can tell us about Al Siegel's future here? I mean, you guys working on stuff? You got any secret weapons out there?
Secret weapons? No, not secret weapons, but I can tell you, facility-wise, we've got a few things happening. We're right now, EPI, Empowering People's Independence, is relocating their new headquarters. So they're going to be opening their new headquarters on our Wolk campus. That's on South Avenue near Elmwood. So they'll be opening. We're getting everybody ready to move in for January 1 of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on point. We're working on some improved accessibility for our Wolk Hall, which is on our Wolk campus as well. And we've got Just One is just around the corner. So it doesn't ever seem possible, but yes, we're already gearing up and putting sponsorships together for Just One, and getting that ready, which is our annual mailer, which will take place in early 2022.
That is just the coolest idea ever. I like that. You know, the Just One.
Yeah.
Everybody just give a buck.
Just give $1, and you know, the
you can give two if you want.
If you want, and if you want to give more, certainly the foundation accepts that, right? But
right.
It's just a way that we think it allows everybody to participate and feel as though they're making a difference. And it's also something that you know, for years now, we've been very fortunate to have folks who actually look forward to receiving the envelope and saying, you know, I appreciate that you really only asked for just $1.
Right.
Because
we've
had lots of folks say, hey, would you know, do you ever think about asking for just $5 or just $10? Well, sure.
Yeah,
But the reality is that by asking for just $1, we see generosity in many forms.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a humble ask because, you know, you guys are humble. You guys do great work. How many clients are involved with all these agencies?
Sure. So,
I mean, the numbers must be staggering.
Well, yeah. So when we look at it collectively for all the agencies, there's over 55,000 children and adults with disabilities and special needs that are served by member agencies and then the agencies within the Al Siegel buildings. It is, you know, back probably 10, 15 years ago, there was a campaign that said, everybody knows somebody that's been helped at Al Siegel.
Right.
And,
right.
It, you know, that holds true.
Sure.
You know, when I'm out in the community and I'm talking to folks, it's really interesting to hear families say, you know, oh, my sister received services at one of your facilities, or received services from one of your agencies. It's incredible to see how far reaching.
And it's not just children. It is adults, too.
Right.
Like the Starbridge thing I did, they help adults as well, you know, homes and jobs and all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely. Advocacy.
It used to be the Learning Disability Association.
Yes.
And they changed to Starbridge, right?
Right. Yeah. And they merged with the Advocacy Center.
Right, right.
So, yep. So when they brought those two agencies together, they became Starbridge. And you're absolutely right. Residential services, education services, but all based for adults.
Right.
You know, that's an interesting challenge in our market where, you know, lots of organizations are really, really, hamstrung right now trying to help and provide services, and particularly for adults.
Right.
You know, because adults don't, you know, we pay attention to our children.
We love children.
Right.
Yeah.
And we pay attention to children. And when children have a stomach ache, you know, parents, you know, we're concerned, we jump into that and say, we've got to do something. But adults don't always put their hand up.
Right. And children grow.
Right. Exactly. You know? And especially in these times in a pandemic, so many people have felt isolated and have not put their hand up and said, I need help. We've all heard about the mental health issues and the crises that are taking place. And so an agency like Rochester Rehab to be positioned to help for that. Our biggest challenge is staffing, you know, across the board, just to be able to get staffing in place and be able to provide services that are so desperately needed. The thing I would implore your listeners is to be patient.
Right.
Please be kind. These folks are working as hard as they can. And there's a tremendous amount of demand. And we are doing all we can to meet that demand.
And I assume you're always looking for volunteers as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Sure. Our volunteers are really, you know, they're the army that makes it happen for us.
Oh, yeah.
And you've seen it firsthand. You're a volunteer as well for us, so you know what I'm talking about. But it's huge for us to be able to tap into the community as a resource of volunteers to say, hey, could you please further our mission by joining a committee, getting involved in, you know, any aspect of volunteering at Al Siegel or any of the other agencies is really helpful.
Okay, well, alsiegel.org.
You got it.
Alsiegel.org. You can find out about all of this stuff. You want to dig deeper and learn more about the agencies and what the services provided by Al Siegel. And, of course, join us Sunday, October 24th at Eastview Mall in the morning for the community walkabout, which is always a lot of fun. And if you just want to, you know, see every kids just with big smiles on their face, it's always a really fun day. Fulfilling day.
Come join the fun and help us raise some vital funds.
Tom O'Connor, the boss man at Al Siegel. AlSiegel.org. Thank you very much. We'll see you Sunday at the mall.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dino.